Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Got good news. Good news is Jesus is still on his throne. He is totally in control. What he's looking for is believers that understand that he is in control. Yeah. He is. The one thing that moves the Lord is obviously not poverty. It's obviously not bad leadership. It's obviously not the destruction of marriage. It's not, you know, rebellion. This is the one thing, not sickness, not poverty, all these different things. This is what moves God. Faith. Do we believe? Do we believe? And he tells us, you know, in Galatians, and the unction of the Holy Spirit, when Paul's writing out the letter to the church of Galatia, he says, you know, does God do these things amongst you because you obey some law or because you believe? We're believers. We're called believers because we believe. And you can interchange the word faith with belief. It's the same thing. You know, it's surety and certain. Think about this. Think about this. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure. Now faith is being sure, which means right now. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. And hope is a desire. You're desiring something with an expectation of obtaining it. It's not some endless thing that's never going to happen. You're actually hoping for it. So now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So certainty. One thing about us as Christians, if we're believers, it's time for us to begin to move in more surety and more certainty. The only way the enemy can attack a believer then is to cause confusion in their life and chaos and overwhelming information. And, you know, one day you walked constantly, you know, confident and you were sure and you were bold, but now it's like you've shrunk back. Now you're hiding out. You're thinking about survival techniques versus, hey, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, we've already survived in Jesus Christ because he was raised from the dead. And so it's for us, it's that, you know, he sent us as ambassadors. I mean, think about that. We are the ambassadors of heaven, the kingdom of God. And we're down here supposed to be representing the kingdom of God. And so what good is it if we don't set up and go amongst the people to represent our king? And one way we're known for being sure and confident. Hang around folks that build your confidence. Abide with God that builds your faith. Get around people who, by the way, these are true. These are people who really believe. The people who believe that the chair can hold them are sitting in it. The people that believe they're going to get a paycheck at the end of the week are actually working. The people that believe that their roof's not going to leak in the storm go in their house when it's storming. And believers who truly believe is God's with them, and greater is he that's with them in the world, is actually going out and doing what Jesus said. So a believer is not somebody in theory. There's somebody in fruit. It's action. They're doing. So just because somebody says they're a believer, that's what I'm talking about. Get with people that you watch their life. You're like, look at you. You're a doer of the word. And you're blessed in all you do. I mean, that's an amazing thing to see people that are actually doing what God says. And there's a lot of people talking about it. I mean, think about it. Even the Pharisees were talking about it when they were looking at it right in his face, the word of God. He's like, no, you're missing it, Jesus was saying.
We'll be right back.
January 27th, 1967, Cape Canaveral, Florida.
10, 9, ignition sequence start.
The crew of Apollo 1 conducts their countdown rehearsal when suddenly...
Oh, no, fire in the cockpit!
Gus Grissom, Edward White, and Roger Chaffee were killed in this tragic event.
A flight never intended to land on the moon, but vital in testing technologies to give NASA information to actually land the first man on the moon by 1970.
Astronauts often brought mementos with them on flights, and it had long been a dream of Ed White to bring a Bible to the moon.
In 1971, Lunar Module pilot Edgar Mitchell landed Apollo 14 on the moon, carrying with him a microfilm of the King James Bible in honor of the Apollo 1 astronauts killed just 4 years earlier. Engage with the Bible and every dimension of its influence.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Now, it so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act. And I feel that communism often stands in the way of certain First Amendment privileges that we have in America, for instance, that I just couldn't adjust to.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm so excited about, and you're going to hear over and watch over a period of time as we're going to begin talking about more about, you know, what in culture and what's it, what determines the makeup of a society? I mean, things we, you know, in religion that you don't really necessarily ask yourself, but yet you live in those realities all the time. And Jesus, the word of God tells us, you know, Paul's writing to the Church of Rome. He says, you know, culture is very important. You have to recognize culture. And there's a culture that's in the world. And he says, this is what I want you to do. This is in conjunction to that. I don't want you to line up with that. But I want you to be anti-culture. I want you to bring a different culture, the kingdom culture,
right,
to where you live at in your marriage, relationships, families, workplace, city, and state. Not politically, not through manipulation, but through your personal testimony and your presence. You know, God's all powerful. You know, he's not an idea, he's God. And his kingdom is powerful. And he said that the message of the kingdom of God would be preached to all, and then the end will come. And it's not the end of the world, but the end of the harvest coming in for that season. And so you ask yourself, you know, what are these seven, you know, what, because we talk about them all the time, but we don't identify them.
Right.
We don't identify these. And it's so important when you think about them, you're going to go, my goodness, I've talked about all those parts of culture and I never didn't even think about it. I complained about it, but never acknowledged it. I didn't realize God wanted me to transform it. And so, you know, Bill Bright, I think in 1975, began to kind of identify these seven aspects of culture. Whoever basically is determining the direction of these seven things determines how your, you know, your culture's, how your community's going to go, how your nation's going to go, how your family's going to go. And in each of these, you can, you know, put a name over them. The first one would be religion. You know, what is religion in the culture and how is it going? I think about Pol Pot and what happened in Cambodia. And he not only killed, you know, Christians, but he killed anything religion at all. And the whole religion mount was destroyed. And then he said, God is dead. Today's day one, and began communism. So if you want to know how communism goes, if anybody wants to embrace communism, you may hear a statement like that, which is not true. And secondly, you may hear words like, okay, today's day one. Wow. And the end of the families. Anyway, so religion. And so it's important. How does that unfold, you know, in America? When you think about America, we have the Constitution. And the Constitution birthed from a people who seeded this nation with a hope to be able to worship God freely, no longer have this governmental controlled religion, the Church of England, and the king who was over the church determining what was going on. They wanted to be able to read the word of God and worship God freely. And that unfolded over a period of time into the U.S. Constitution and the First Amendment, make no laws concerning religion. And so the Constitution laid that mountain out already. It just laid it out. The question is, are we going to begin to go back to the original intent of this country and say, you know what, you know, that you should be able to worship God freely, and there should be no government should make no laws concerning that. And so that religion mountain is at debate today. You know, what's going to happen to it? You have certain mayors and different people saying, you know, I'm going to put my hand on the religion mountain, right?
Careful, careful.
And you have our president did it. Several people did it. But the Constitution is what we have. That allows us to know that that you can't, you're not supposed to be doing that. If we dump the Constitution, guess who takes the religion part of the culture? The same thing has always been. It's been government. You know, when you see the kingdom of God merging with the kingdoms of men, it's not going to be good. Because you can't do that. They're leaving God for, you know, manipulation of that.
I think that happened a couple times before.
Yes. And to and to switch churches in England at that time meant that you probably are going to be put into fetters. You're going to be put into a dungeon. Your stuff's going to be taken from you, you know, prison and all this kind of stuff, and potentially even beheaded.
Now, what's a fetter?
It's the things birds have.
Is it painful?
Yeah, it is. You stick your head through a hole in your hands like
your
this.
Hand. Oh, wow.
I'm sure they had something like that in Star Trek, one of the episodes. And then the and so that's one part of culture. And another part of culture is the family. I mean, think about it. That part of culture is being fundamentally transformed as well. And it's like, what are we doing with this? Because God says family should be a certain way in the kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. But then you have, you know, other people trying to change that part of culture. When you really think about this, and this is sort of like what Bill Bright called them, these are like mountains. They're like mountains. So you have this religion mountain that we just talked about, but you got a family mountain. And whoever's at the top of that mountain determines what family is in that culture. But they don't change it, but they actually begin to change that society to reflect what they think it is. Mm-hmm. And notice who's at the top of the mountain right now and what's happening. And it's like, okay, I understand that, but what are we doing? What has God called us to do? Because we're not supposed to conform to the cultures of this world, but be transformed, the renewing of our mind, God's way of culture, and his kingdom is supposed to come. That's how we're supposed to pray, that your kingdom come. So we're supposed to be involved in, I mean, you know that most folks are hanging on the religion mountain. It's like lions, tigers, and bears. Oh no, lions, tigers, and bears. And it's like singing songs like, you know, take the whole world, just give me Jesus. And it's like, take every other mountain, just give me Jesus. And they've done that. Look what's happened to family. And it's not that the people who are doing this or whatever is evil. It's the fact that we've walked in disobedience to God, that we were supposed to come be kingdom advancers, asking God's kingdom to come here on earth, where the power of God shows up. What people want is God. They don't want religion. And when God shows up, even the demons cry out and go, did you come before your time? You know? And so then another part of culture, a mountain as well, is education. I mean, you think about this, that have we just given education over to a government system now? The church, I'm talking about the America, but have we just go, yeah, I know, I tell my kids about Jesus, but I send them to a school who denies Jesus. I tell them about a country and its founding fathers and original intent, but I send them to a school that denies the founding fathers, the original intent, and won't even let them stand up to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And so, you know, what are we doing? Are we bowing down? Are we just giving these mountains over? I mean, we could stand up at our own households. We could stand up anywhere and say, you know, I'm going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, I am going to not give my children an education that wrong is right and right is wrong.
Right.
And you can personally, you can educate, believe it or not, this man on our nickel in this big monument, and one that signed the Emancipation Proclamation in Washington, D.C. during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln was educated at home.
No.
Yes.
In a house.
In a house. And yes.
Yeah. He's on the penny, actually.
On the penny. Oh, the nickel. Nickel?
Yeah.
Inflation.
And the $5 bill.
Inflation. And the $5 bill.
Wow. He knows his coins. He knows his currency.
It's a pactoid. and so we should have me think of really how have you just felt defeated in regards to the education and you just kind of given into it? Well, I want to encourage you that God has called us to begin to pray his kingdom down, not for us to physically manipulate and strategize, just his power. God shows up, things change. And education can change, and you can change at your own kitchen table. But first we got to say, you know what, if I deal with a family mountain, I'm gonna love my family enough to say, you know what, I'm gonna educate them. But if I give the school system and society the obligation to raise my family, then I'm definitely not going to take on educating my children in that way. This is important. We got four other mountains to talk about in culture because I believe that as we begin to cry out to God and ask for his kingdom to come to each of these mountains, that God's going to begin to fundamentally transform our nation to where he wants it to be. More we get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to parents today about the very important distinction between childish irresponsibility and willful defiance. Let me explain. Suppose little Chris is acting silly in the living room and he falls into a table, breaking some expensive china cups. Or maybe he loses his books on the way home from school or leaves his bike out in the rain. Now, these are acts of childish irresponsibility which are just inevitable during the early years. Forgetting things and losing things and spilling things do not represent direct challenges to authority, and they should be handled very gently. On the other hand, when a child stamps her little foot and tells her mom or dad to shut up, something very different is going on. She's moved into the realm of willful defiance. It occurs when the child knows what the parent wants, but she clenches her little fist, digs in her heels, and prepares for a battle. See, it's a refusal to accept parental leadership. When this kind of nose-to-nose confrontation occurs, a firm response is in order. Why? Because the question being asked is, who's in charge here? If a parent equivocates at that moment, a strong-willed child will precipitate other battles designed to ask that same question again and again. That's just the way he or she thinks. So it's the ultimate paradox of childhood that a youngster wants to be led, but demands that the parent demonstrate the courage to lead.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about these mountains, really, in culture. And whoever is at the top of these mountains, not just individuals, not like king of the mountain, but in regards to how we see things in, as Christians, in the kingdom of God, that our king is Jesus. He's King Jesus. He's King of kings and Lords of lords. And so he dwells inside of every believer. So when you see believers praying that God's kingdom would come to these religion mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, you're looking at Christ in them. Maybe they're operating in some sort of leadership over that. But then culture begins to line up with that, you know, which is not lining up with this individual or some doctrine of some religious denomination, but just with God, with his word. And so... Then, you know, the next mountain out of the seven, you think about it, is government. I mean, look at the people struggling right now today. I mean, they're saying they're throwing people under the bus. They're doing all kinds of things trying to fight for the top of the mountain. And potentially in the next program, I'm going to fold out and remember some prophecy that was given. And that I believe, you know, the government mountain, we haven't seen nothing yet. If we don't repent, because it's a midterm really of a 16-year fundamental transformation plan. And if we hear from God and we respond to God, then it could be totally, totally different. But government, what you're seeing today is people fighting to get to the top of the mountain. They talk about, you know, which political party is the leadership party, but they're talking about whoever has the most marbles gets to run things. So they right now you have independents, Republicans, and Democrats. And if you have more Republicans, then that's who's got the most marbles, and they get to run things based on whatever sphere of authority they have. If you have more Democrats, then you have Republicans, and the Democrats got more marbles, and so they get to run things. And so they're, what they're doing, all this billions of dollars they're spending on elections, they're fighting to get to the top of the government mountain. But what I think about Joseph. You know, I think about Joseph, who was in slavery, but God took him because of the kingdom and God's direction and hearing what God is saying and learning to operate in the gifts that God had given him, the ability to interpret dreams, that when he stood before the leader of government gave him the lead, even though he wasn't there. So I'm not talking about some political party taking over. I'm just talking about just kingdom influence.
Right.
I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they weren't in charge, they didn't have any positions at that particular time. It was the leader of government at that time that determined the culture is going to bow down to this graven image, you know, of Nebuchadnezzar. And they just stood and said, you know, that doesn't, well, it works in the kingdom. You know, our king can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we can't do this. Mm-hmm. Then what they said, the Lord worked with them confirming the word, and the fire didn't burn them up. And guess what? The whole culture changed, not because they took Nebuchadnezzar's position, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But because they just stood for God. You know, over and over again, Daniel stood for God. Nehemiah stood for God. So it's not about, you know, this is kind of a mindset that says, you know, we need to physically take over things. Well, that's, you know, that is the dark ages of religion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, remember that?
Yeah.
We're still apologizing for that
and
repenting. It's the kingdom of God within you. Every king, every president wants the blessing of God on their on what they're doing. They want increase. They want business to flourish and all that. They're just thinking it's this way instead of that way. But when you show up with the kingdom of God within you, and God gives a strategy to you, and you share that with the king, you share that with a governor, you share that with a senator, and all of a sudden just things shift, he's not going to be upset. She's not going to be upset. They're going to be like, wow, give this person an important, let Daniel run things.
Seat at the table. Come.
Yeah, right.
Get a ring for him.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people, if you think about trying to physically take over, you're trying to, you know, and very well, you know, could happen, but it happens because God opens the door for it to happen, not because you physically force it to happen. Because you have to have the kingdom of God in you and the Lord with you for that to even function. If not, you're doing what happened down in Central America, where two believers, you know, just said, yeah, we're going to go take this governmental mountain. And they ended up in jail because they didn't understand the consequences and how those things ride out. You want to be able to, it's a jungle. It's a jungle. And so then, so whoever controls government, look at the things that's happening now in our culture just because of government. I mean, it's amazing what's happening. I mean, you're dumbfounded if you don't really realize it's a strategy. It's just the kind of direction that they believe it needs to go. And there's no secrets. They're telling it. They're using a detailed methodology to do that called Rules for Radicals that was taught by our president for 4 years. Marshall Gantz said you first have to polarize before you organize, and that means divide everybody. Everybody's divided. That in itself is a satanic strategy because Jesus said anything divided against itself will not stand, including a nation. So it's dividing marriages, families. It's dividing the nation. We risk right now totally being destroyed because we're divided. But the kingdom of God is about uniting and up under a banner that Jesus is our Lord and godly kingdom ways. And so then you have this particular the governmental mounting is very important. It matters who your president is, because that's who potentially is going to say, you know, we need to send you to war or send your sons to war. It's going to raise your tax rate. You know, slavery is based on taxes. If you're 100% taxed, you're a slave. If you're 80% taxed, you're 80% a slave. So it boils down to it. If you're 51% taxed, your 51% majority of you is a slave, is bound to someone. That's not true. Don't pay it. Watch what happens. And so then another part of culture, which is huge, is media. You know, how the media, and there's so many different formats of media today. It's like, man, who's at the top of this mountain? Because what's happening right now, just trickles of light comes through media. And another mountain, arts and entertainment, just any light, it all comes through there, and people just jump all over. They go, light, they eat it up. Great movie. Oh, man, that was like, it was positive family, whatever, you know. But it's just like specks instead of just dominance in those particular cultures, because part of the culture, because, you know, who's ever over those mountains determines who it is. And it's like the world understands this.
Right.
But does the church understand this? And the last after these six is the business mountain. You know, the culture aspect of business, how does business work? And when I first became a believer, you know, I was always loved business and all that. But I didn't think you could actually be a businessman and a Christian.
Right.
I don't know why, I just didn't. And because I know why. Because all that was being talked about was a religion mountain. So I thought, okay, I gotta leave these other six mountains and I'm gonna go to church. I don't know how I'm going to work my business now. I don't know how government's going to happen. I don't watch, my media's all messed up. You know, education, I don't know. I got to fight with the teachers and the professors when I take humanities at the local university because, you know, all these things are going on. Right. But hey, I'm on the religion mountain.
Right.
And so business, you think about it, God wants to bless your business. I mean, we are proof positive. I'm telling you, God's into your business. He's into you. But are you into him? Do you realize that he wants his kingdom to come to your business? And so the culture business mountain, how that works. God's the designer of this. He's the one that created, you know, balanced scales and the things that says in his word about how business is done and trade and that type of thing. And so who's over business now? I mean, think about it. Who's over the business? And it's like businesses are being oppressed in these different things. It's like, you know what? It's time for us to begin to think, God. Jesus said, when you pray that to the Father, that our Father, that your kingdom will come. Your dominion will come. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to begin to paint a picture for you, because we got some turbulent times coming. But now we're understanding that all seven of these mountains have been taken over by the world.
Ooh.
I mean, not in regards to who's actually on top of them, not totally taken over. But there's Christians in all of that. But in regards to who's on the top, who's got king of the mountain, all that type of stuff, that you're looking, culture's reflecting that. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, really, did that really just happen? Hmm. It's like, you're not at the top of the mountain. The kingdom's not at the top of the mountain. So we got to begin to say, you know, God, you know, your kingdom come to our religious mountain, that we begin to walk in the context and preach the kingdom. Because we've been preaching the message of salvation, but we haven't been preaching the message of the kingdom.
Right.
Jesus says, when you go, don't go tell somebody, you know, in Luke 10, don't go tell somebody they can be saved. He said, go tell them that the kingdom is near. The kingdom, the dominion of the king is near. And we're preaching, you know, we're preaching the message of salvation, not the message of the kingdom. When you access to the king and the kingdom is being saved out of the dark kingdom into the light kingdom, but we're saved for a purpose. And if we weren't saved, you know, for that, all you need is two evangelists.
Hmm.
You need two people to go exercise this thing of salvation that's being taught. You know, one evangelist to tell you that God loves you. He gave his son for you to die for you. And you need to accept him and make him the Lord of your life. And you go, yes, I accept him. And then you need another evangelist just to shoot you so you can go be with him, right? With a gun. That's ridiculous. But how many people live their life based on that one decision versus it's actually a decision to be baptized in Jesus? The water is a symbol of what we're going fully into him, and we want the full measure of him, and he is our king and is our Lord, and he has a kingdom. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.